Welcome to another episode of Brian's Spain Domain Spanish History 101. This is episode 14, Muslim Consolidation and the First Signs of the Reconquista. In the previous episode, we talked about how the Muslims entered the Iberian Peninsula on a larger scale in 711 AD. They handily beat the Visigoths, who were led by King Roderick, and they soon realized there was a huge power vacuum in the country. So instead of returning to North Africa, more Muslims arrived, and in successive military campaigns, they controlled much of the territory against very limited resistance. In fact, we could say much of it melted away quickly, which explains the easy conquest. The Muslims would penetrate southern France, but they were defeated at the Battle of Tours against the Franks, so they were forced to return and settle down on the southern side of the Pyrenees. They controlled most of the Iberian Peninsula, except for the northern coast in regions like Asturias, Cantabria, and the Basque Country, where the rugged terrain and the rugged peoples were less willing to give in. We'll get to that in a second. Now, let's establish a few things because this is a crucial point in Spanish history and we can approach it from different angles. But I think that sticking to a chronological order is going to make the most sense to those of you who might be unfamiliar with Spanish history. At least I hope so. So we'll do that and hope for the best. Today we're going to focus on the period from 711 to 755, more or less, maybe a little bit later. As we were saying, most of the peninsula had fallen under Muslim control, more or less. But what did that mean? Who did this territory belong to? Who was the ruler? These are some very good questions, so let's see if we can find the answers. This territory quickly became known as Al-Andalus, and that term will become sort of the generic name for Muslim Spain, Muslim-controlled or occupied Spain. The name is also the origin for the name of the region Andalusia, or Andalusia in English, and it is located in the south of Spain, where you find famous cities like Seville, Granada, and Cordoba. The origin of the name Al-Andalus has been greatly disputed over the centuries, and nothing conclusive has been determined. It's a fascinating topic, but one for another podcast on another day. In any event, this territory became a province for the Umayyad Caliphate, whose capital, believe it or not, was all the way over on the other side of the Mediterranean in the city of Damascus, Syria. The Umayyads were the ruling family. A caliphate, by the way, is an Islamic state. I guess you could call it a kingdom. And this was one of the big ones. Now, during these 40 years or so that we're talking about, Islamic control over Al-Andalus, over Spain, was anything but solid. And in part because they just didn't have the numbers to control a territory as large as the Iberian Peninsula, and in part because of all the internal strife. You see, the Muslims in Spain can be divided into two main ethnic groups. One of the groups was the Berbers, and they made up the majority of the population basically because of proximity. They came from the northwest of Africa, what would be sort of present-day Morocco and Algeria, and the other group was the Arabs from Syria and the Arabian Peninsula, who often acted as sort of the ruling class. At least they like to think so. This situation led to countless struggles, civil wars, rebellions, assassinations, you name it. This obviously had a major impact on the depth, or actually lack of depth, of their occupation of the land. At the same time, the earliest signs of Christian resistance were beginning to make themselves known almost immediately, And this is important to bear in mind because when people discuss this period, that is the Islamic occupation of Spain, you often hear things like Spain was lost and that the Muslims occupied it for nearly 8 centuries, or that the Christians took 8 centuries to get rid of the Moors, etc. And there is some truth to it, but it's also very, very misleading. Now, you see, even before the Muslims were pushed back by the Franks at the Battle of Tours in 732, in the region of Asturias in Spain, there were events taking place that suggested to the Moors that controlling this country was not necessarily going to be easy to do. We are talking about a man named Pelayo, a kind of mysterious individual of uncertain origin. He may have been Visigoth, he may have been sort of the Hispani, like from the Ro an old Roman family. He may have been Asturian. But anyway, he emerged as the leader of a kind of motley band of survivors of the Islamic invasion, many of whom had fled to the Cantabrian Mountains seeking refuge. The local Asturians, they're called the Astors at the time, were a very tough tribe itself, also sided with him. Pelayo engaged the Moors in a battle that has gone down in history by the name of Covadonga or Covadonga, and he emerged victorious. Over the centuries, the greatness and the numbers involved in this clash grew to something superhuman, something practically resembling the Spartans at Thermopylae. At one point, you would read about things like the small army taking on and obliterating an enemy larger than the Allied force at D-Day. A truly remarkable feat, but a totally preposterous number. In general, it is agreed by most scholars that some sort of battle took place. It was probably a skirmish or a large skirmish, and there the locals repelled the Moors several times, in fact, and that sort of convinced them not to mess with those people in those inhospitable mountains. It was a reckless endeavor and not worth their time and effort. To the Christian forces, at least according to tradition, it served as inspiration, a sort of yes we can moment. The event became so legendary that a huge shrine was built where the battle supposedly took place. You can still visit it today. The fact is, so little is known about this battle that it is dated at a very imprecise somewhere between 718 and 722 AD. They're not really sure. In any event, Pelayo has traditionally been regarded as the first king of Asturias, though he might not have been considered as such by his followers. This is important, though, because to some, this moment is seen as the beginnings of modern Spain, and has something to do with the fact that the heir to the Spanish throne is called the prince or princess of Asturias, in the same way the heir to the British crown is the prince or princess of Wales. Pelayo died in 736. His son Fafila took over, but he died just 2 years later. It's said that he was killed by a bear. So it was Pelayo's daughter, Ermesinda, who had married a nobleman named Alfonso. And this son-in-law, this Alfonso, would become the next king, known as Alfonso I of Asturias, the first of many, many Alfonsos in Spanish history. Alfonso would establish the kingdom of Asturias, join forces with the Galicians, and by the time of his death in 757, recapture or take back most of the northwest quadrant of the Iberian Peninsula. It was just about this time, though, that the Muslims were finally getting themselves better organized, and it all had to do with events that were taking place thousands of kilometers away. The Umayyad dynasty, as we told you, which was based in Damascus, Syria, had been replaced by a new clan called the Abbasids. This meant very bad news for members of the Umayyad family, many of whom were either imprisoned or simply executed. One prince, however, a tall, red-haired, and handsome man by the name of Abd al-Rahman, miraculously survived and sort of scrapped and scraped his way over to Morocco and then finally to the Iberian Peninsula, where his family roots worked in his favor, since the ruling class there was quite pro-Umayyad. He founded a new state called an emirate, which is basically a principality, and he called it the Emirate of Cordoba, and it lasted from 756 to 923 AD. With the unity of the Muslims somewhat consolidated under the rule of this charismatic leader, the advancing of the Christian forces would become stalled. Beating back the Islamic invaders, it would no longer be the cakewalk the Christian forces initially experienced under Alfonso. The Muslims would evolve from invaders to occupiers and eventually residents of the Iberian Peninsula. So the Muslims would enjoy a lengthy period of relative stability, but I use the word relative in its most extreme sense, for they, as well as the Christian regions and kingdoms, would often end up fighting amongst themselves as much as each other, as we shall see. But we'll pause for today. It's a good place to stop. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. If you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you wish to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out at Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.